If you've seen changes in the dress codes at your job, you're not alone. Many workplaces across industries, especially in office settings, have adopted relaxed policies and guidelines about what employees can wear to work. That includes, for a little while anyway, Congress. Recently, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer made a short-lived change to the U.S. Senate dress code to allow senators to wear pretty much whatever they want on the floor. Republicans in Congress and some Democrats criticized the move, saying the Senate should be a place of professionalism and decorum. Democratic Senator John Fetterman from Pennsylvania came under particular scrutiny for wearing basketball shorts and hoodies to Capitol Hill. Here's Chris Hayes interviewing Senator Fetterman on MSNBC.
Let me start with the most important matter facing our country at this dire moment, which is the matter of the Senate dress code. Which has recently been changed.
Of course. I've heard that some people are upset about that. And you know, like I said, aren't there more important things we should be talking about rather than if I dress like a slob?
Days after the change, the Senate passed a bipartisan resolution reinstating business attire on the Senate floor. Our next guest is a fashion historian who says a recent trend toward casual wear at work isn't a reason to panic. Fashions come and go, but it does represent an interesting shift in our culture. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What is the dress code like where you work? Have standards loosened in recent years? Are you happy about a move to more casual and comfortable work wear in many settings? Or are there places where dressier professional clothes should make a comeback? And do you work at a place where there's no choice? You wear the scrubs or the uniform or the safety gear. Are you glad you don't have to think about what to wear? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Linda Prebyszewski is an associate professor of history at the University of Notre Dame, author of The Lost Art of Dress. Linda, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks, Rob.
Most of us don't work in the U.S. Senate, Linda, but when this story broke, this is a little while back, do you think it was something worth thinking about and paying some attention to?
I was curious as to what the purpose was, because the Senate usually takes itself pretty darn seriously. And then I saw some pictures of Fetterman and I thought, okay, I think I'm against gym shorts in the Capitol.
Now, is this, and I've mentioned a couple times, it seems like more workplaces are getting a little more casual. Do you see that happening? And if so, why?
Well, there was a shift towards what they used to call casual Friday in, I'm thinking, the late 90s, the early aughts. And the interesting thing was women actually found it annoying because they felt they now needed a third wardrobe. Right, formal work wardrobe at home with kids, with family, informal wardrobe, and then something in between. But now it's turned into sort of casual Friday all the time, casual every day. This is the thing, though, that I find interesting. It's also casual even if you would like to dress up. Because there are places like Silicon Valley where there are people who have, quite frankly, enormous amounts of money. And yet they're not supposed to wear the beautifully tailored suit that they can afford, you know, because that's not what they're supposed to be wearing. And I think there are different dress codes, but they might be just as annoying to some people as they were before they got really casual.
Now, there are written dress codes for some businesses, but there are also sort of unwritten rules that people don't necessarily come in knowing. Is that something you've watched for, and how complicated can that make things, especially for somebody who's new in the workforce?
Yeah, it's. I mean, most of the people who kind of try to keep young people aware of what they need to think about tell them you need to do, I teach at college, right? So you have young people going into careers, into offices for the first time. And the usual rule is try to dress a little better than you think you're supposed to, if only so people don't think you're slacking off. And then you sort of look around and you realize, okay, what's appropriate, what's considered appropriate in this particular setting. You know, more creative places, they expect you to be more creative in your dressing, whereas places, usually like financial places, right? They expect you to be more conservative because nobody going into a bank or an investment firm really wants to feel nervous about somebody's appearance.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Michael is with us in Kaukauna. Michael, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I remember when I started my career in the professional world, I was required to wear, you know, decent dress slacks, a tie, a dress shirt, and a jacket of some kind. And now I see people in work and in church in T-shirts and in cut-off jeans with holes in them. I'm going, like, it's gone too far to the casual side. Is how do we strike a balance between the two where people could be comfortable and yet be professional?
Michael, thanks a lot for bringing that up. And Linda, there is a lot of room between, you know, a jacket and tie and those cut-off jeans with holes in them.
Yeah. No, and obviously, being female, I've never been forced to wear a tie against my will. And I do know that there are a fair number of men who simply find the way they fit around the neck to be uncomfortable. But I do think Mike is right that there's got to be a happy medium where, let's put it this way. My rule is, unless you clean garages for a living, you should probably be aiming a little higher than that, simply in order to signal competence to people. And that's one of the things I always think about when I see college students going off to, right, the career fair on campus, is one of the reasons they've put on a suit of some kind or a jacket is that has traditionally been in a way that you said, I'm a person who is competent and in charge of something, and I'm ready to work for you.
Thanks for that call, Michael. We're talking about dress codes at work, whether they exist, how they've changed. Are we getting more casual? Should we get less casual? Linda Prebyszewski is with us, Associate Professor of History at the University of Notre Dame. You can join in with your thoughts, maybe what you see at your workplace at 800-642-1234. Linda, I am a guy. I don't love wearing ties. Large Adam's apple doesn't work well for me. But I don't know that guys get a real pity party here. Can you talk about the challenges facing women in trying to decide how to go along with the dress code? It's a little easier for guys in many settings.
No, it is. It's true because, quite frankly, in the early 19th century, this is how far back it goes. There's actually someone who wrote a book called Men in Black. The color options and the decorative options for men narrowed, right? So the color palette got much narrower, much darker, except for play wear. But for serious business wear, right, we got the dark suit. Women have always had a much broader, wider range of clothing available to them. And because culturally, right, fashion has pushed women to expose more flesh and form through their clothing, it's often put them in this awkward situation where they want to be taken seriously as someone working for a living and not someone dating for a living. And yet a lot of the options for women are for dating, right? They're for the big night out. They're not for the office. And it's funny because we really lost, i.e., here's my book, The Lost Art of Dress, a whole set of amazing suit options which existed in the 1950s for women. Where I'm talking, they didn't just look like men's blazers. I actually think women moved into men's blazers in the 70s because they'd forgotten all the amazing options in suits and in what they called dress with jacket looks. But there used to be a very large array of pretty much formal, pretty much covered up, and yet extremely attractive kind of suit options for women. And nowadays it's kind of, I have to say, sometimes it's sort of like every single woman is wearing those pair of black trousers. And you have to realize I love color, I'm a dressmaker, and there are many other options that are dark and serious enough colors, but they're not what I call boring black.
Let's go back to our callers now. Nancy is with us in Milwaukee. Nancy, hi.
Hello. I recently had eye surgery plus many other visits at the Eye Institute here in Milwaukee, which is connected with Friedert Hospital. everybody who examined me using very ultra sophisticated pieces of instrumentation wore such sloppy clothes that I was very dismayed. Most of the people looked as if they had been brought off the street and given 20 minutes of instruction. And I think that this is because hospitals now have the feeling that all patients get into a panic and get elevated blood pressure if they're treated by somebody wearing a white lab coat and very professional-looking clothing. And so they've gone overboard. And the people who treated me had crumpled T-shirts, stained and dirty jeans, jeans with holes in the knees, just deplorable clothing. And I will never go back there again, because in an effort to calm patients' nerves, they're forcing people who probably would have preferred to have dressed more in a professional manner, but they're forcing them to come to work in overalls. I mean,
I gotcha, Nancy. I hope the recovery is going okay, by the way. Linda, Nancy, not wild about seeing people underdressed in that medical setting.
Well, to me, the part that really dismayed me the most was people who didn't look like they were clean in the medical center. I mean, one of the things that's really obvious if you look historically at nurses and doctors has always been, right, the original outfits were all white, right? And the idea was, man, those things look bleached. They looked really, really clean. They looked really, really hygienic. And then we saw the move to scrubs, where everyone started wearing scrubs. I'm presuming simply because they're more comfortable, but I think I myself would agree that I do want people to at least look really clean if it's in any kind of medical care setting.
Thanks a lot for that call, Nancy. We're talking to Linda Prebyszewski, Associate Professor of History at the University of Notre Dame. We're talking about the rise of casual clothing in the workplace, when it gets too casual, in your opinion, and what, if anything, it says about society. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What do you wear to work? If you could wave a wand and change your workplace's dress code, what changes would you make? Do you have no choice about what to wear to work? Because there's a uniform or a scrubs requirement, or you name it. You're glad you don't have to think about what to wear. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up the conversation with fashion historian Linda Prebyszewski about how a lot of workplaces, especially offices, are relaxing their dress codes. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you ever have casual Friday at a workplace? Did you love it or dread it? What do you think? Do you have examples of where people you think are overdressed or underdressed when you encounter them at work? Join in at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Dave is with us in Sturgeon Bay. Dave, hello.
Yeah, hi. I was a teacher, and the administrator we had was really big on, if you're going to be a professional, you have to act professional. You should look professional. And it was really interesting. It did garner respect from the students. I think it made a difference. And it's if you can't walk in like a rag doll and expect to get respect from that. And it is a part of the whole picture. And I hated dressing up. I'm a very casual, but it made a difference.
And Dave, in this context, did it mean you wore a suit up in front of the class, or just like nice clothes but short of a suit?
Nice clothes, no jeans. Many of the males, the guys were wearing ties and things like that. I had a non-traditional where it was a possible danger. I did not wear a tie, but I never wore jeans, and it was good. I hated it, but it worked. I think you need to garner respect, and you would look different from the students. You were not them.
Gotcha. Dave, thanks a lot. Linda, this idea that as a teacher or in other settings, we are dressing to set ourselves apart from the people we're encountering in our workday.
Yeah, I mean, when people in the past were taught how to dress, and they literally were taught how to dress, that's what my book is about. One of the things the dress advisor said is, look, when you're out in a public place, and the workplace is one of those places. It's not an intimate setting. It's not where you reveal yourself to people. So in some ways, your clothing needs to be more formal because it's sending the message, hi, we're all here to do something, in particular, work. And the other thing I think of as a teacher is there is an institutional power imbalance, right? And to me, sort of like not having students call me by my first name, the fact that I am not trying to dress like them either is part of it. We're not on the same kind of level institutionally. I'm their professor. And clothing does send a message, as Dave said in his call. And clearly his students got that message.
Dave, thanks for the call. Jeff joins us now in Superior. Jeff, hello.
Hi, good afternoon. My senior year at Notre Dame, I was a fireman. I wasn't volunteer, was paid, but we didn't have a uniform. And I told them when I graduated, I wish Notre Dame Fire Department had a uniform. Well, years later, as an alum, suddenly there's a corner in the bookstore where you could get all this Notre Dame Fire Department apparel. And I was like, I wish I had that when I was, you know, doing the job, because I always admired Star Trek. You know, they had a uniform, they were on duty. And I always liked, you know, the military uniform looks really good. I think a person looks sharp when you have a uniform.
Jeff, I'm sorry you didn't get royalties, because that was your idea for that uniform. Thanks for the call, Jeff. Yeah, I mean, uniforms answer a lot of these questions, Linda, for better or worse.
Right, they do. And they also send a message about being a member of something bigger than yourself, right? You're a member of a core. It's funny because very often people will say, well, fashion's for women, only women care about fashion. And I point out that actually military men feel very strongly about their uniforms. And sometimes it's just because they want their uniforms to function. Right. But if you've ever seen the Marines in their dress uniforms, you know, they also care about the style of it and how good looking it is as well.
Thanks for the call, Jeff, at 800-642-1234. Looking at changing dress codes at work, Linda Prebyszewski stays with us, Associate Professor of History at the University of Notre Dame. We'll go now to Matt in Waukesha. Matt, hi.
Hello. I was something you hit on just a few moments ago. The idea of this workplace dress code, I think, is a part of a larger public versus private sort of space, which you kind of just mentioned. You know, and it probably comes from a good place of wanting to try to break down some barriers of what, you know, is a stereotype of who's dressing this way and what spaces. But I think it also loses its function, like you said, of you know, kind of, you know, yeah, like the uniform is a great example of that actually too. Like, you know, who is, you know, this, who is the firefighter, who's a paramedic, who is a policeman, if everybody wears a jacket that says that on the back or whatnot, or whether it's teacher, student.
Matt, I gotcha. Thanks a lot for the call. And Linda, that blurring of public-private, well, we had this period where many people in lines of work were working at home. And that may have, how much did that change our thinking about clothing?
I think it did because there were a whole lot of people who did or did not dress. I actually dressed to Zoom classes, so my position was nothing had really changed. Of course, I was trying to reassure, right, a group of undergraduates who was going through one of the most confusing times in their education. But I was also thinking about the fact that I do think there are people who got sick of the not dressing up at all. I think there's a reason why once restaurants opened, people wanted to go out and be in them, and they wanted to go out at night, and they wanted to be able to celebrate. And usually when you actually celebrate some event, you want to wear something special to mark that occasion. So I think, I mean, and to me, the art of dress is actually the ability to dress for everything from, yes, I'm going to clean my garage today or walk my dog or do my gardening too. I am ready for a formal, beautiful event where I get to wear something that's special that I don't get to wear every day.
Thanks for that call. Now, I think sometimes, Linda, when people talk about things like changing dress codes, there can be on the one hand a sense that, okay, society's in decline. Kids today, on the other hand, like from the other end of the spectrum, come on, give it up, things change, whatever. Where do you fall on that huge spectrum?
Well, I kind of do what the dress advisors of old said, which was I look across all the fashion possibilities, and I choose those that I think best suit my life, and my body and my coloring, and I get to have that choice. And one of the things, too, I think, especially I'm an older woman now, is that I do actually prefer to have an emphasis on dignity rather than an emphasis on following the latest thing, because I've seen a lot of the latest things coming and going. And what was very fashionable in, you know, 1 year, 5 years later was looked at as perfectly silly. So I'd like to pick what actually works for me out of all the possibilities. And then enjoy it. Enjoy it as fashion and enjoy it as clothing.
Linda, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Hey, you're welcome. It was fun to be here.
That's Linda Prebyszewski, Associate Professor of History at the University of Notre Dame. She joined us for a look at the recent trend toward more casual dress codes at many workplaces. Hey, one more comment. Frances in Milton wanted to say she thinks business casual could be nice slacks with a nice blouse for women, nice pullover sweater for men. Also, I have a note. She would like to know what Rob is wearing. Well, like every day here, full tuxedo, top hat, tails, my little monocle. No, I am very casual. Radio is a very Rob-friendly profession. Intact, usually blue jeans, black jeans today, though, mixing things up, and usual button-up shirt, but untucked, because that's just how I roll. I kind of stumbled into that. So the height of, am I a slob? I'm looking to Sarah here. No, I'm not a slob, but I'm not, you know, dressed in a suit on any given day or, if I can avoid it, any day.